So, tonight, I'd like to discuss how it is possible to go the distance in Krishna consciousness. So I'm curious, how many of you plan or think it's possible to go the distance? Raise your hand. How many of you aren't sure? Raise your hand. Right. Now, if we're going to go the distance, it seems we've got to organize our life in a certain way. How many of you feel that you're willing to make changes in your life so that you can spend your whole life in Krishna consciousness? Raise your hand. You see, we have to organize our life in order to match our desires. If we desire to be Krishna conscious, it's going to change. It's going to take some changes in our lifestyle. So we can see that those who can last in Krishna consciousness are those who are willing to continuously embrace change in their own life. And those who kind of fall by the wayside or fizzle out are those who just reach a certain level or plateau and say, that's it. Of course, whatever they did is for their eternal benefit. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Svapamakvisatharmasya kayate mahatopaya. Krishna says, on this path, there's no loss, there's no diminution. Whatever you do is to your eternal benefit. So if somebody only gets to a certain level and stops, they'll start again from that point. If not in this life again, certainly in the next life. So, we have to look at ourselves and see if we possess the ability to constantly make some changes in our internal life. Some of us may feel we don't have that ability. But the fact is, through purification, you can get that ability. Sometimes, however, we're afraid of changing. Anyone here feel like that? Afraid of changing yourself. What is it about ourselves that we like so much that we don't want to change? Anyone can say?
False ego.
We like our false ego. Yeah. Anyone else? Our conceptions of what? Huh?
What is life about?
Can you give us a specific example of our conceptions of what life is about? We are meant for enjoying. Okay. Anyone else?
Yes.
You're afraid of losing your uniqueness. Anyone else?
We want to control. We control it.
You want to control? Ladies, anything else?
Uncertainty.
Huh?
Uncertainty.
Uncertainty, that causes you to...
Whether a change is going to happen.
You're afraid that something... You might gamble on Krishna and then lose your ability to enjoy the material world. And also you don't get Krishna. That was Arjuna's concern in Bhagavad Gita. What happens to someone who tries for Krishna and fails? Looks like they lose both legs. They don't enjoy spiritually or materially. Now, how many of you take the time to try to analyze material existence and see if it gives you all the things it promises to give? Who takes the time to do that? Only a few are raising their hand. Well, this is what you have to do if you plan on going the distance in Krishna consciousness. You have to look at life without Krishna and see, will it give you certainty? Will it make your false ego happy? Will it allow you to control? What else did someone say? Yes, will it? Material existence make you feel unique? What is it that material nature actually gives us? Why are we so attached to material nature? What does it have?
Sense of stability.
Sense of stability.
Sense of
it. Sense objects. Yeah?
Illusion
that you're in control.
A lot of suffering.
A lot of suffering. How many of you remember the flavor of the modes of material nature? What it's like to be just absorbed in passion and ignorance. That particular flavor. And your senses are agitated and they can never be satisfied. Your brain is fried to a crisp. You can't find any meaning, because when you're addicted to your senses, you can't find any meaning in life. Who can you depend on when everybody's just interested in their own sense gratification? Therefore, in order to live material life, you have to play a game of let's pretend. Let's pretend that we're interested in something besides our own sense gratification. That's the game you have to play. Now, what pushed you on in material life? Who remembers? What motivates you to go on?
Anticipation.
Anticipation of what?
Being happy.
Anticipation of being happy. How many of you anticipated that you were going to be happy in material life? Okay. Now, what did you anticipate? How? Being famous. You're going to be a famous surfer.
A musician.
You play the guitar? Imagine that you were. Anyway. What did you anticipate? No one wants to say? What did you anticipate?
I was anticipating that I was going to gain some enjoyment from my endeavors. Namely, that I was going to be happy, like my endeavor, to arrange the situation for myself to have a lot of adoration and respect from others, that I was going to make me satisfied.
For what? Adoration and respect for what?
You're a musician too?
Just some general, I guess.
It's amazing how even when we don't have anything to offer from the material point of view, still we think we should be adored and respected. It's amazing, isn't it? This is how Maya empowers us. Yeah. Even we don't have material skills, and still we expect people should adore me and respect me. This is what material nature does. This is what Maya does. It gives you this false sense of worth. I should be appreciated. I am unique. There are special things about me that the world would be better off if the world would recognize I have these abilities. Why do we have this sense of uniqueness? It's because we actually are unique as parts of Krishna. But in the material world, this uniqueness, being part of Krishna, comes across in a perverted way. So this is our frustration. If you're smart, you'll really catch this. We are trying to express our spiritual uniqueness through matter. And that's where we run into trouble. So what else did you anticipate? Any of the ladies want to say? Yes?
Money.
Money.
Having, say, a certain salary, mm-hmm. like earning $20,000 a year.
That's not much these days.
Right.
but you focused on $20,000?
Well, that was just like a guess.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I've since changed, and I'm not...
$70,000.
No, my salary is very, very low.
But still, you used to visualize having a high salary.
Right.
And how are you going to get that high salary?
Work.
But is it simply by working that you get high salaries?
Work your way up in a company.
Working your way up in a company. So you were about, you were doing that.
Right.
So where did you start? At what level?
I graduated from college with a Bachelor of Arts, and I started work. I worked in an office in Century City, but I was earning a lot less than $3,000 a year. Something like $800 a month.
You know, you graduated from college.
Yes, that was here in Los Angeles. There's so much competition here. It makes it difficult.
All right, so you went to college, did all the right things, you got your Bachelor of Arts degree, and then you got a job.
Yes.
And then what?
And then it was horrible.
Horrible? It's a job.
Right, but it wasn't satisfying like you were talking about.
You expected it to be satisfying?
I was going to make the best of it.
But did you really expect that your job would be satisfying? How many of you have had a satisfying job? You had a... No. Over here, you had a satisfying job in the material life. Can you explain?
Teaching yoga. I mean, that's related to this.
Yeah, but you were satisfied exercising the body.
Well, it was spiritual.
Oh. Get some spiritual guys in the class. How was it spiritual? Just teaching physical yoga?
Oh no, I tried to bring in Krishna consciousness.
Oh. Well, still. Now I guess if you tried to introduce Krishna consciousness, then it had some aspects of real satisfaction. But that's kind of something else. Who here had a job that was actually satisfying, and a job that, you know, wasn't involved with your trying to introduce Krishna consciousness?
I worked at an art gallery when I was in Eastern Bank.
And how was that satisfying?
I learned how to make artwork, and got me thinking in terms of, like, art, and my art is what was the first thing that Krishna attracted me to your art.
So when you were working at the art gallery, framing pictures, you just felt like your soul was satisfied.
I didn't even think about my soul at that point.
Or your whatever was satisfied. You really felt that.
The only thing that satisfied me, it taught me like values and work ethic, and it got me motivated to become self-sufficient. At an early age.
Values and work ethic. You mean like what any ant in an anthill has?
Well, a child.
So, my point though is, when you say that this job framing pictures satisfied you, I mean, it's like you couldn't wait to get to work to frame pictures.
Yeah,
when they told you it's time to quit, to go home, you were like, oh no, I don't want to stop now. And how many years did you do that for?
Only 3 years.
Why did you stop?
Because I didn't pay.
You needed to make more money.
Yeah.
But wait a minute now, the job satisfied you.
The job satisfied me until there wasn't enough materials to go on. Like I wanted, you know, vitamin things.
In other words, the job stopped satisfying.
I outgrew the job.
No, the job stopped satisfying. See how we try to avoid the reality. It's not that the job didn't satisfy me anymore, it's just that my needs expanded. That's probably a good way some of you have gotten out of relationships, yes? It's not that you don't satisfy me anymore. It's just that we've both grown in different ways. You use that line?
Yeah.
Anyone have any better lines to use? Well, that's good. Yes? You're not stimulating my mind anymore. As if men are thinking about that. They know that's why they're laughing. This is a game they played it. Yes.
I just like to add that I've had over 20 different jobs in my life, and I've made different salaries, small and large.
Small and large.
$12,000 to $45,000 a year.
45 is large these days?
No, not in Los Angeles, but it's pretty large in Texas. But at no time was I ever satisfied with any of those jobs. No matter how much money I made, I wanted to get more money. There was never enough.
Never enough money.
Never enough of anything, but money.
Anyone else had a job that satisfied them? No, everyone knows you go to work as an austerity in order to get money. And when you go to work, you got to do what someone else says. You got to please someone else's senses. You got to put up with things that normally you wouldn't put up with. Everyone knows what people look like on Monday morning if they've had the weekend off. You drag yourself off to work Monday morning. So there's an example of you having to do something you don't want to do for a minimum 40 hours a week. Generally more. I know in many countries like Australia and New Zealand, the 40-hour work week is long gone. Like that here, too. You say nothing.
But no job I've ever had.
What's that?
Not any job that I've had before.
What about?
All my jobs that I've had was for 40 hours a week.
You weren't making much for you.
No.
So, here we have a situation in which people anticipate things. They anticipate happiness and satisfaction through working a job. But they're not getting it. And this working takes up so much time of your life. Now just see how you're doing something that doesn't satisfy you, but you're doing it for the major portion of your life. The relationships that people have at work are given more time than their relationships at home. In fact, many sociological studies now reveal that people would rather spend all day at work because home is such a problem. They don't know how to deal with their family life. They don't know what the purpose of family life is anymore. But at work, everything is organized for them. They've got a whole world of associates and friends and enemies at work. And they spend generally 10 hours a day at work, more than they spend at home, and more waking hours than they spend at home. So where is the satisfaction? And just see how people are willing to sacrifice to get something. Now what about Krishna consciousness? That is a sacrifice. You're doing things that normally you wouldn't do. Number one, you're controlling your senses. Normally you wouldn't do that. Is the Krishna conscious lifestyle satisfied? What do you think?
Yes.
Why? Why do you say it's satisfied?
Because there's so much spirituality in it. And there's,
what does that mean, so much spirituality?
As opposed to a mundane lifestyle where you're working 5 days a week and you go home. There's the temples, there's the Bhagavad Gita, there's
Yes, what you're actually saying is that there are spiritual sense objects. That's a much better way of looking at things than saying there's spirituality. When you become specific, you'll understand that Krishna consciousness involves an unlimited world of spiritual sense objects, which replace the material sense objects. And therefore, you're satisfied. So, to the extent that you involve your life with the spiritual sense objects of Krishna consciousness, to that extent, you're satisfied. Now, when devotees falter and grow weak, it's because of a lack of association with spiritual sense objects. It does take a little determination in the beginning until your natural taste for Krishna develops. But none of you here can tell me that you never had determination. All of you have strived for something. You've sacrificed. Who here has never strived for anything? Anyone? Never strive for anything. Nothing.
Money.
You worked?
Yeah.
Okay. You sacrificed. Anyone here? You never tried for anything. Besides Roberto. Anyone else? You never tried for anything in your material life.
I actually, at one point of time, tried to, I started to, like, be attracted to Buddhist philosophy, Buddhism, and Buddhist philosophy are not attracted to anything.
Buddhists are not attracted to anything. He was Buddhist philosophy.
But you were, how did you try to be a Buddhist?
There's some statements now, everything is voidness, and I just tried to look in everywhere, and that's
so you made an effort to see void everywhere, man. So you had to make that sacrifice to see void in everything, right? Now, you're telling me that other than that, you never tried for anything in your life. You never tried working or family life or going to school, nothing.
Maybe like it's more shy, I don't know. I was content. I just gave, you know, going to school.
You never tried to study, you never tried to work. Never tried family life? Nothing. Okay. All right. If you can analyze and see that you have struggled and sacrificed, then you have to ask yourself, why won't you do it for Krishna? Everybody here says they tried, they sacrificed. You've worked. You've worked at jobs. You've worked at relationships. Isn't that so? Let's make this work. We're really going to try. Yes? Isn't that so? But when it comes to Krishna consciousness, we are very lazy. Why is that? Who can say?
Because we have to set fancy necessities as well.
Yes. In Krishna consciousness, we are confronted with the reality that all the pleasure goes to Krishna's senses. And then we feel, what's in it for me? How many of you sometimes wake up in the morning thinking like that? What's in this for me? Raise your hand. What's in it for me? Now, what are you really saying when you... What are you really thinking when you say like that? You're really thinking, what's in it for my senses? That's what it means. You wake up in the morning, the alarm clock goes off, your eyes open. Okay, what do I gotta do now? Gotta get up and go to Mangalore to chant Hare Krishna. Why? It's gonna make my senses feel better. That's the question we always ask ourselves every morning. Why am I doing this? And then after the morning program, I'll have to go do some service. What's in that service for me? Now, in order to properly answer that question, you have to know who you are, that you're part of Krishna. But if you see yourself as separate from Krishna, then naturally, you're going to get doubtful and perplexed someday. Why am I doing this? Why am I going through all these austerities? They're very severe. How many of you have been, while you've been devotees and living in the ashram, you've gotten sick sometimes.
Alright.
Now, if you just tell the temple commander I'm not feeling well today, okay. But what happens if you're working in the material world and you feel a little ill? You get a certain amount of sick leave every year, and that's it. But as a devotee, you know, you just feel a little tummy ache. You go, I feel like I can go in the kitchen today. I don't feel like I can go on Sankirtan today. Listen, you can't use these excuses in the material world, but for Krishna, we become a little slack. For ourselves, in pursuing sense gratification, we're very determined. Now, the challenge is, how can we be more dedicated for Krishna than we were for our own sense gratification? That will make or break our spiritual life. If we are not trying as hard for Krishna as we were for sense gratification, Krishna knows it. We're cheating. So at least you've got to give Krishna equal time, equal effort. How many of you thought like that before? You've got to at least give Krishna the effort you were giving to your material struggles. That is where you can start dealing with bhakti, giving, sacrifice. But if we think Krishna consciousness means, now I don't have to do anything because everything's for Krishna, that is a big mistake. At least to the degree that we struggled and persevered in the material world, we've got to do that for Krishna. Now just think of what you put up with in your material existence. School and work. Having to do so many things. Being required to do so many things. Now, why can't we show that much perseverance in Krishna consciousness?
When one endeavors for satisfaction for Krishna, sometimes I wake up in the morning and I feel like I do it for Krishna, but actually I want to pacify my own senses, and I know that devotional service is going to bring me down. Like
devotional service is going to bring you down?
Yeah, like tranquilize my senses, and I get an inner peace, and I get free from the material anxieties. What is this also? Sense gratification?
It's okay on that level to serve Krishna because it brings you peace. To serve Krishna because it gives you tranquility. A higher level is to serve Krishna simply for giving Krishna pleasure. The goal is to become purified and obtain that level of consciousness. So what we're dealing with is what makes us tick in our material life and how we can transfer that to Krishna's pleasure. This is what makes or breaks our spiritual life. Can we summon up the same spirit of sacrifice that we had in material life? All of you, to some degree, sacrifice. Put up with things you normally wouldn't put up with in order to get something. Anyone here never did that? Even Roberto, you what, playing video games how many hours a day? How many?
What is it?
8 hours on video games. For how many years? 8 years. And on you know, other days, you know? So you average the minimum. Minimum was 2 hours, maximum was 8. Video games for 8 years. So what austerity did you have to do in order to taste that nectar? What a...
I had a computer, so I didn't have to do much. Yeah, for that I had to sometimes schedule some money.
So you didn't mind scavenging money? Because it would lead to a video game, right? If we can see how we'll put up with so much to get material goals, why can't we capture that energy of sacrifice and give it to Krishna? How many of you thought about that before? We just get a grip on our spirit of sacrifice and dedication for our own senses and give that to Krishna, how successful we'll be. Everyone's thought about that before? No? What did you think? Yeah, just kind of hang out and it'll all come?
Yeah, I think so.
If we're really going to get going, we've got to get our hands on the engine of our life. The engine of our life is where the sacrifice and determination is, the struggle, the endeavor. Everyone had a material life in which things always went your way? Anyone here had a life in which everything always went your way? But you put up with it because you had the hope that one day you're going to have some good happiness. You put up with it. Now, what is so difficult about serving Krishna, even when sometimes it feels inconvenient? What's the difficulty?
Losing focus on the ultimate goal.
Now, when you lose focus on the ultimate goal, what vision comes in its place?
Material.
Okay, and such as?
What you were doing previously, the kind of pleasure.
Yeah.
Second freedom.
Do you ever think about what you all would do if you weren't serving Krishna? What would you be doing? Oh, a horrible life. You wake up in the morning, I am this body. Oh, that's misery in itself. Okay, how am I going to please the body today? You get up, you may take a shower, you may not. Some people do, some don't. And you go in the kitchen, move down some breakfast, and then you got to go to work. While you're wolfing down your breakfast, you turn on the radio and hear the news. How am I doing? And you get in your car, you got to spend how many hours on the motorway?
That's 4 hours, 2 hours, 4 hours.
And you go to work, and then you leave work in the evening, more time on the freeway. Then you get home, you got to think about dinner and television. You watch television till midnight, you go to sleep, get up, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning, repeat the same thing every day. And your only hope, it's true, isn't it?
It's true?
It's true.
Yeah. And your only hope is, will you meet someone who will recognize how unique and wonderful you are? Right? Right? That's your only hope. Will that person be at work? Or will you be invited to a special party where that person will be there? Or sometimes you just dream so much, you're thinking, maybe when I'm walking from the parking lot to my job, Mr. or Miss Wright will drive right up next to me, And they'll drop their keys on the ground. And then they'll realize, oh. Yeah? Isn't it right there? What else did you hope for? You get the newspapers, and are there any top-rated movies in town? Maybe there's a good book I haven't read. You've got to entertain yourself. To the degree that you can entertain yourself, you think you're successful. You've got to have someone to entertain you. You have to see something, a movie, television show. You've got to read something to entertain your mind. You got to eat something that will entertain you. Maybe you'll find a new restaurant. Is this how it's like? Yes.
Yeah.
What else can you expect? You came in the middle of the discussion, but what can you expect?
What can you expect? A lot of disappointment on the end of the day, and hope the next morning.
Very good. Very, very poetic. Disappointment at the end of the day, and hope the next morning. Tragic. And what is the hope for?
Hope that he won't be as miserable as me.
How can you say something like that when you are young?
Well, I'm speaking for society, not me, for myself. I'm speaking for what I see in my family.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes I see myself.
Okay. No. Well, then you don't have to answer personally. Just answer for your age group. How could you say such a thing that, you know, hope tomorrow won't be as miserable as today?
How can I say that?
Yes, as a representative of a particular age group.
Huh. Well, there's not really nothing substantial out there for people my age except go to college, try to be successful, so that ultimately you make it to grad school, and hopefully you won't have a really boring job. But most likely it'll be as boring as the one that your uncle has, even if you're making a lot of money.
Now, when you're in school, when you're in the university or grad school, all you do is study?
No.
What goes on?
Corruption.
Meaning?
Meaning, drinking, talking about people, feeling sorry about yourself, complaining, having sex with random people.
You gotta write a book, it's very good.